Blah, blah, blah. Test, test, test.
All right.
All right, I'm going to introduce this episode because this was my big idea. So Slacktivate episode 5. We're waiting for regular third chair Michael. So in his stead...
We have a guest.
We have a guest. We have young Maddie.
Not so young these days, chaps.
Oh, well. This is, Matt, you're new to this. This is where we talk about how the state of the world, or at least our perceptions of it, with very little research, mostly out of our assholes, is where we talk about how things go. So, yeah.
Yeah, the tagline that I like that Joel came up with is saving the world one beer at a time. Although, let's go around the drinks. You got a beer today, Joel. What'd you end up with?
I got a Leffe Dark, so it's... it's a little fruity.
Mm-hmm. In the efforts to drink less, I'm having rusty nails tonight.
What is it? What is that?
It's two kinds of scotch. It's regular scotch and then like Drambuie, which is sweeter.
I really was considering just getting a tall glass of tonic because then it sort of tricks me. It's, you know, it's like a decaf coffee. I've been doing that a lot lately, too. But today I drank real coffee and I got a real gin and tonic, because fuck it.
You know what? It's really hard to quit these vices of ours. It's, you know, it's funny because, like, beer is definitely something I can't seem to ever go without.
Funny you should bring that up. Coincidentally,
no.
I thought it might
that
be interesting.
It was almost a seamless segue. He had to point it out.
But yeah, since Matt's here, I thought this would be interesting is to talk about various kickings of things. Because I guess what y'all have in common is the cigarette thing. So I guess, yeah, well, you know, again, this is usually about the world, the outside world. But, you know... This, you got to start with the man in the mirror, am I right?
It comes from within.
And I'm looking at the man in the mirror, and he's a smoking guy named Joel. How's that going, Joel?
Incredibly well. I have not had a full cigarette since December 20-something. However, the other...
Just Popeye cigarettes?
No, not even that. not even my fake e-cigarettes. I've used them... I've smoked an e-cigarette from time to time, but...
Oh, and we should say for the sake of history, what is it, the 3rd of February today?
Yeah.
So that's over a month. Not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost 2 months. Yeah.
Sure.
For those of us stretching the math...
Mathematically uninclined.
It's almost a decade. Yeah. You're doing great.
Yeah, but I did have a drag when we were out at the wrestling thing. We went to some live wrestling... which you can check out at Smarkamania, another podcast on the KeithCourage.com network. We went and saw live wrestling, and some of our mutual friends were smoking cigarettes, and I stole a drag. And then I immediately was like, nope, this is not for me anymore.
Man. Yeah, and I was going to say, because, I mean, also... that's one thing I'm glad you just jumped to wrestling for a moment.
Yeah.
That I was glad that, like, Toronto wrestling, I think, is the coolest indie wrestling. Because indie wrestling usually isn't like that. It was like this, like, a bar situation, and you just buy drinks, just hang out, and it's all dimly lit. If anything, it was too dimly lit, but it was all cool looking. Because I looked up some of the people that we saw, and in most of North America, indie wrestling is still just in a high school gym. Very garish lighting and weirdos sitting in little folding chairs. Like, it's not cool. Where Toronto wrestling is cool as fuck. So what I'm trying to say is if you're going to smoke, it's cool as fuck at times like that, that it's going to happen.
Totally. Like, well, that's why I felt like doing it.
That's
I was
a long
like,
way to get there.
No, I was all like, I just watch wrestling. Ah, I want a fucking cigarette. And I'm like, Madison, give me a drag. And then I took a drag and I was like, nope. Yeah, it was good. It was nice. It was nice to find out. How long did you quit, Matt?
Yeah, because I was going to say, it seems like this is the trick, right? Is these when you're trying to just fight your vices tooth and nail, you're going to lose. But every man hits that point where it's just not a fight like that anymore. And I believe that's how it was with you, young Maddie.
Yeah, I quit 6 years ago, I guess. I was a pack-a-day plus smoker for over a decade.
I had a nice little jaunt with the chew as well.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was a fucking nicotine fan. Like, I used to smoke pipe. I used to smoke Colts. I used to chew tobacco. And I used to smoke cigarettes. And I fucking loved it.
Did you ever do them all at the same time?
No. Because
you would
get kind of messed up after down. That.
You ever just take some tobacco and sprinkle it into your big league chew?
Yeah. The nice salad garnish. Yeah, so I smoked like a fucking lot, and then I actually read a book, and it was just it threw the switch, and that was it. And
now, everybody recommended this book. My problem is I don't know how to read.
Yeah, well, so that'll get you. I didn't fucking read it. I did audiobooks whilst I was at work.
Oh, there you go.
And then I couldn't wait to get done by the time I was.
What was the key point of that that book that made you quit?
The key point, the trick of the book. It's called The Easy Way to Quit Smoking, and it actually is The Easy Way to Quit Smoking. The trick to this book is
The Easy Way to Quit Smoking for those who are literate.
Yeah. The trick is it explains things in an array of different ways. Okay. Just like it tries to get you on the health thing. It tries to get you on the money thing. It tries to get you on it just smelling and being gross. And like every way you can think that there's something wrong with cigarettes, it gets you on. The only reason you want a cigarette is because your body is currently lacking the nicotine that you got from the last cigarette. So the only reason you want to smoke is because you've already been smoking. But once you get over that, it's done. But the trick is, so willpower is finite, right? Mm-hmm. No one's got an unlimited amount. So if you've got all this willpower at the start and you start some non-smoking regimen, you're slowly going to break down and break down and break down. But if you shift your mindset and it no longer requires willpower, then you're aces.
I think that's what I did. Because
so what this thing does is there's two rules. Once you quit, you can never smoke again. You just accept that.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to stop smoking until you're finished the book. So as you're reading the book, you're going through all these reasons why smoking is terrible and disgusting, and you're relating that in your brain. And by the time you're halfway through, you're literally smoking and being like, oh my God, I can't wait to be done smoking. Huh. I can't wait to finish this fucking book so I can stop smoking.
You remember those little old books that'd be like a story, like a gremlin story, and it makes a sound to turn the page? It should do that, like, just smoke a cigarette now.
It's like, I don't want to. Don't make me smoke one, man. It sucks. Yeah, so I finished the book, and that was it. I haven't smoked in 6 years and have very, like, once in a while, like maybe a couple times a year, I'll have the desire, but that's it. But I've also, you know, you got that rule that's like, don't start. And I've woken up after, like, just crushing benders and been like, oh, man. Like, who cares, like, what I urinated on or who I horribly offended? I'm like, oh, man, I hope I didn't smoke last night. I'd feel so bad.
Huh.
Yeah, because I guess you have had a few of the detective mornings, right? Or, like, the blackout drunks. But as far as you know, you've never smoked during those times.
Or be like, oh, did you put tobacco in that joint? I fucking hope not.
Dude, I remember one time I was hanging out with, this was a couple of years ago, but it was with Jason and Madison, who I do the wrestling podcast with now. Well, with Jason. And I was so drunk. I don't know when I've ever been that drunk. And we were at an after-hours club in Kensington, like, that I didn't even know about. I think they only let us in because Madison was with us. And, like, you have to stand. It's like a Zelda puzzle. Like, you go down this weird alley, and you stand in front of a camera. And then if you seem cool, the door opens. And then you get to pay $10 a head just to go in and then spend tons of money on beer. But it was really cool. And then Madison fucked up and went home. She's like, fuck this. But I was so drunk that night. I tried smoking, because I'm not a smoker at all. And then, because I thought it would be funny, when everyone was done with the cigarette, I chewed up the butt and tried to swallow it, and I could not. It is so, so gross. That's my experience
like
of smoking.
Last two, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure. And nobody thought it was that funny.
No.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, for me, like, my quitting was actually entirely associated with kind of getting really mad at, like, the environmental / corporate destruction and getting mad that I was supporting a system I didn't believe in. And so, yeah, it's because I hate the man.
Yeah, I like that your rampant idealism has concrete value to it. Because, yeah, like, Joel, you're on a tear. I mean, this very podcast, if anyone follows Joel on Twitter or Facebook, Squid Pod, you should. But, man, it's just a torrent of all this. It's more stuff than I could ever read or possibly care about. But I'm glad that, if nothing else, I mean, yeah, that it gave you that righteous fire. I like that.
Yeah, no, and that was the whole thing. And like, so, yeah, so quitting smoking was, like, the first thing. It was kind of like, if I can do this, if I can quit smoking, then what other changes can I actually make in my life? Because it's sort of, just to fill you in, the whole kind of renaissance of me being active, because I was always a little left and always had, like, my beliefs and stuff. But didn't really do much about it other than buy a bicycle. You know, like that was pretty much all I did about it. And so now I've just been reading a lot, and it's, yeah, it's starting to become more and more apparent that, like, our politics don't really matter anymore, and it's business rules everything. And
cash rules everything around me, I hear.
Cream, get the money. Exactly. Dollar bills, y'all. Yeah.
Have you ever heard the equally as good and famous Transplant song, Dream? Drugs rule everything around me?
No.
Oh, I can't believe it. Good Lord.
Tell me more.
Well, I shan't be playing it at the end of the show. Don't worry.
But anyway, like, and one of it was like the tobacco industry and just how, you know, like you just do a little bit of reading about tobacco and how it took so long for that spell to break. To like, we're at a point now in 2015 where places are finally going non-smoking, like completely. That's a long ass time. So the question is if a drug and a company are able to lobby for that long, what else? Like, that's a lot of control. Anyway.
Yeah, they really are too. Like, did you ever see
Nashville
that?
Giving us poison to drink.
Who does that
know?
Did you ever see that movie? Was it called Thank You for Smoking? The Aaron Eckhart movie before he was famous. Man, that movie was great. I think it was what's his name's kid, right? Who did Juno?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, you know, the guy who did Ivan Reitman, who did Ghostbusters. What's his kid's name? Jason Reitman. It was his first movie.
I was gonna say something Reitman.
Anyway, yeah, that was a fine film. But yeah, just like, and it's nice stuff like that, even though it's just a movie and it's to entertain you, but it's like a nice sugary pill, but you still get the information of like, man, tobacco is fucking insane. Like, they'll just lie to anyone and just like do whatever they can.
Yeah. And currently, like, oil operates in a similar manner. Yeah, just like anything that's bad that makes money operates in this manner. So it's like, yeah, anyway.
It was kind of, yeah, and the whole thing with that movie was it was similar to Saul from Breaking Bad. It was just like this idea of like, if I just argue long enough, I can make anything be true. And like, that's what I think is, I mean, we've talked about it in this podcast before, but it does seem more and more clear to me that these people that are just like blinders on, like I run tobacco, I run oil, I run whatever. It's like they are just, they're just addicts in their own way. They're just addicted to the power of their position. And because that's really all addiction comes down to every time, is that you just keep doing something that is detrimental and you don't care. You just keep doing it. And when you look at it that way, it's amazing how many things you can categorize as an addiction. And it makes so much more sense to me. It's like these people aren't necessarily evil and they're not dumb. They're just, they got problems. They're addicts with power. That's trouble.
I recently watched a documentary about Wall Street and just how much cocaine and prostitution and kind of shittiness, like so-called morally shittiness, is involved in Wall Street. But that's because, and you would think it's the drugs that maybe fuel Wall Street. It's probably the other way around, where the high of making that much money needs to be chased. So cocaine is like the only other way to match that high kind of thing, right?
Right.
So like, you know, like this is, again, I always on the show, I am talking shit out of my ass. So, but I would think that like making that much money in an afternoon is got to be a fucking thrill.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Even just, it's a sillier example, but there's this guy, Matt Lees, from, he's an English video game reviewer that I like. He did these videos where he'd do like Sony at E3 and he'd abridge them and just talk funny over it, and it got like 2 million views, and all his other videos get like, you know, 10,000-20,000, and he said like it kind of, he did a few of those videos that all hit 1 million views, and it kind of killed his desire to do YouTube videos in the long run, because his other videos were never that popular. And after you get 2 million views, you're like, why am I doing this fucking stupid video that only 10,000 people saw? Like, you need the high. It's like anything. We're just the most addictable, weird little creatures. It's ridiculous.
So, like, and if that's the case, if we're just chasing dragons, like, all the time, it's kind of hard to figure out how to stop us, especially when us gets fragmented into pieces. And the richer you are, the harder it is to kind of see reality, I would think. Like, a lot of these guys get, like, they, you know, they have private planes, into a private limo, into a private elevator, into wherever they work, then back again. So it's like their contact with like the unwashed masses is so minimal that how on earth would they even be able to relate that what they're doing is weird or wrong, or you know what I mean? Like,
and it must be the type of thing too that's relatively easy to justify to yourself too. You're like, well, I mean, I'm super rich and famous and I have a giant house and knew all this businessy shit that works. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm doing it right.
Well, and unfortunately, Mike would be perfect to be here and chime in on this, but fuck him. He doesn't get to say shit about this.
Where is he at work? Probably. Yeah, fucking probably. Working for the man.
Sucking man's dick. Well, yeah, my fucking boss sold his first company for $6 billion. He had to sign a non-compete clause for 5 years, and as soon as that was up, he started another company, and he's doing it. It's like, why are you doing this? You sold your company for $6 billion. Go do, like, go hunt men for sport. But he doesn't want to. He wants to do it again.
So this is the idea, is like, there's, you know, like, if this is what we're doing in this system, is like, we're chasing the big dream so that we can just get rich and retire. It's never happened. Like, rich people don't retire. They just keep going.
So then that's an interesting way that you maybe people ought to adapt their lives.
Yeah.
So, like, I used to think that way, too. And then I just started doing the things that I want to do.
Right.
Like, I started playing guitar, and I don't do it because I want to get famous. I do it because I like it. I started doing stand-up, and then I did that, and then it wasn't fun anymore, so I stopped. And now I'm doing improv and making a video game. And if those get boring or whatever, then I'll stop that too. But at the time, they're interesting. And if something comes of it, sweet. If they don't, whatever.
But you know, you're going to ride, like, if something comes of it, you're going to ride that. Okay, yeah. Well, maybe it'll take you to the next thing. But there is that sort of point, especially, and everything you just mentioned, though, are all creative ventures, right? And I don't think... Now, I'm not a mathematician, so maybe mathematicians would disagree.
Statistician?
Well, no, I'm just thinking like the just playing the market and like doing the finance thing. I don't feel like that's a particularly creative venture. Like, I would say, and it's weird that our entire society is based on a uncreative venture.
That it's not at all, though, because I mean, you're basing survival on well-founded rules. Like, evolution works based on things that worked before it.
Okay.
And then a few things here and there. But usually it's the stable things that keep going.
So now, yeah, elaborate on that. What do you mean by that? Like what things do you mean that keep going?
There's a reason your parents want you to have a fucking stable job and an income and be able to retire, because they don't want to have to bail you out.
Sure,
when you fuck off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you try to be a rock star, right?
For sure.
So that's what's going to keep the majority of people going, because that's an achievable goal for most, whereas all these outliers are not.
Right, that's...
And if everyone's chasing those... Then the current structure, and I'm not saying it's the correct structure, would collapse.
No. I'm totally in agreement. That's how it works. That's the, you know, as Mike mentioned last episode, that's the invisible hand of capitalism. It's I like the way you put it, actually, which is build your own slavery. You know, like, yeah. I like that way better.
I can't remember where I heard that, but that was kind of mind-blowing to me. It's like, yeah, like, the infrastructure and the overhead of slavery is ridiculous. You got to house these people. You got to feed them. We're under capitalism. It's like, here's minimum wage. Find your own house and your own food. Like, you deal with your own slavery, because we're busy.
Yeah, so, like...
Me and you work a day in the summer. I was a Canada day or something.
The common man. Just working away, just slaving.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I worked at a restaurant for, I can't even remember now if it was 2 weeks or if I made it a whole month in the dish pit. One of the most miserable times of my whole life. I hated it so much.
I was a deep fryer jockey.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but it was good.
So I got crotch rot and you just got your dick burned off by grease.
Oh, so many burns. Like, my entire...
To this day, your whole scrotum is hairless?
No. I didn't get any dick burns, thank God.
Oh, but... you guys didn't do the quick dip? You just dip your balls in real quick.
Oh, is that a thing? Yeah, no. No, we just did...
We called it the Dunkaroo. There was icing involved after.
No, we just cut them off with the knives. It was just... yeah.
Is that what that song Cuts Like a Knife is about?
Yeah, it's Brian Adams worked in a kitchen. He knows.
Well, I was going to say, just to jump back to addictability-ness, where it does seem like, yeah, like that thing you were saying, Matt, of if you're just fighting, if you're just like, you're trying to rely on your willpower every day, it's going to fail. It's just a matter of time. You really do need to have that like paradigm shift in your brain and just see things different. And my thing that I tried to do hasn't gone super great, but it's not going so bad, really, is January 1st rolled around. And people were talking all over the internet, or at least the parts of the internet I still hang out on where fucking 16-year-olds hang out. But it was NoFap January. Like, just don't look at porn, don't jerk off for all of January. And I had already started this thing where I was starting to, like, now that I've moved back to Toronto and I'm living by myself, and I didn't even have a computer that could play video games, a lot of downtime, a lot of time to think about your life. And I started thinking, like, I'm pretty sure that this 20 straight years of jerking off to porn every day, I'm pretty sure this has gone some bad places. Like, I don't think it's gotten more healthy. Like, I mean, especially with the internet, like...
Let's get them with their clothes back on.
Honestly, sometimes, I mean, have you seen that? Clothed female, nude male?
Yeah,
it's all right. I don't hate it. But, yeah, and I was like... and just, like, they would talk about stuff like, you know, if you can't quit doing something for, you know, 10 days or something, like, you should at least be able to stop for that long. And if you can't, then you're, you know, it's a problem. And I was like, you know, just for the sake of science, like, these people aren't wrong, I should try this. And I had already started doing a thing where I, like, at least went through my porn and I got rid of the super creepy porn. You know, I was like, I kept a folder of just, like, suicide girls and stuff. Here's just a nice smiling naked girl. And I'm like, I'll just try jerking off to that for a while, because at least that's more in line with some kind of normal, you know, relationship between a man and a woman. So then I figured I'd take it this extra step. I was like, all right, let's just try cutting it off for January, so to speak. Let's just do cuts like a knife. Let's do the old Bryan Adams. The old rusty razor. So I went 11 days, no big problem. I just was like I never tried before to not watch porn. And it was, like, I definitely, about 3 or 4 days in, had a real bad headache. And I think that was just, like, dopamine withdrawal. Like, I really was just, like, not supplying myself with this thing I had every single day. And then that kind of passed. And I guess about, like, after, like, a week, that's when I started to miss porn quite a bit. I was like, yeah. but I did kind of feel like, once I get over that hump, I did kind of feel kind of better and just kind of weirdly more confident about just being out in the world. And like, whenever I saw a hot girl on the streetcar or something, that weird little squirrely part of my brain that is like thinking about every chick like I wish she was in a porn movie I could watch wasn't right at the front anymore. You know, like, that was a nice thing. But then, you know what got me? This is so weird. Again, this ties into the loneliness of living by yourself. Have you ever heard of ASMR, I think it's called, where it's
the whispering yeah. Whispering thing where people whisper? Yeah.
It's half great, half awful, because I don't like sounds and noises, you know? Like, I think I have minor misophonia. Like, I don't like sounds, and that's part of it. They just, like, will crinkle packaging and stuff in front of a microphone and tap things and, like, terrible. I hate that side of it. But the other side is just people whispering. And it's ridiculous. On YouTube, you can find anything. You can type any accent. I was like, ASMR, Irish female. And you can find, like, an Irish chick who will just, for 20 minutes, just talk.
That's already done it for me right here.
It's great. Yeah. She'll just talk quietly to you about, like, how was your day? You doing all right? Oh, you're going to sleep now? Like, all this shit. And I found this one video of this chick who did that and had amazing cleavage at the same time. And I was like, wait a minute, what? Like... I'm already at the point where I'm listening to virtual people try to comfort me, and this one has huge breasts, and I haven't touched my dick in 11 days. I'm like, all right, maybe this is okay. So, but then what I fell back on is, it turns out what they say for the NoFap thing, I was doing what they call hard mode, which is nothing, no porn, no jerking off, no nothing. So this other mode that's supposed to be easier, but I would argue is actually harder, is you're allowed to jerk off, you just can't come.
What's the point?
What's the point? Agreed.
Well, after 11 days, the point is, it's your dick is crazy hard, just like immediately. Like, and I was just watching this nice chick talk all gentle and just kind of jerking off with this, like, my dick's never been so hard in my life. And I kind of did that for a few days. I managed, and then, like, I would just stop and then, like, still feel, like, empowered about myself. Like, all right, I'm totally jerking off to this chick's boobs now, but I'm still in control here. Like, yeah. But, of course, eventually, that didn't last. And then from there, I tumbled straight back into watching porn again. But what was good about it is now that time away, like that time to sort of clear my head, is it really did make it super clear that that feeling I had when I was just walking around the world and see a girl on the streetcar and just feel like she was a person and not like, a, oh, there's a hot girl. Like that I had that a more of a feeling of like human connection with people. So, and then compare that to porn. Yeah. It just made it super clear that porn really is just like I'm jerking off to a power fantasy, not to an actual like sexual fantasy.
I mean, and I think that's a huge argument for or against porn is that it's dehumanizing. Now, is it dehumanizing to women or is it empowering to women? Because I've heard both arguments, right?
Well, I mean, there's a large spectrum of porn, but I mean, you're just your basic, you know, Brazzers, whatever
sure.
I think is it's bizarre to everyone, I think.
And I think it's neither. Like, I think it kind of exists. I think there was, you know, I'm not talking about the actual industry. The actual industry varies. But I think it sort of exists in this gray area of, like, it's neither empowering or the opposite of whatever I said.
Well, what I was kind of thinking is I think what got me through, like, those 11 days and then, I mean, most of January, I still, like, it's overall, I call it a win. You know, 80% of January, I was porn free and I was like, wow, cool, like I could do this again. But again, you need that something in your mind to make you think this is a good idea and that this matters. And kind of what it was for me and why I especially found like going back to porn seem extra weird is lately I've been thinking a lot about just how, you know, human beings haven't really changed physiologically much in, you know, however long, but society has changed around us. So even though I don't know that much about, like, Native Americans and stuff, I read this one book about them when I was a kid that really stuck in my mind. And I'd be thinking about that a lot lately. Like, every weird problem that I have and every hard thing in the society that I can't seem to fit in with, actually, it's exercise that made me think this. I used to always, like, make jokes about, like, man, what would I do if I lived in medieval England? Like, I couldn't hack it. I'd have to convince people I was a wizard or something just to get along. And, you know, I really thought, like, oh, I'm just a skinny nerd and I can only live in this soft world that we're in now. But after a little bit of exercise, I was like, not only could I make it, I'm a person just like every person in history has been. I think I would have liked it. Like, I feel so much better after exercising. Like, I want to go walk up a cliff. And hunting would be the greatest video game of all time if you know you need to do it or everyone's dead.
Well, I mean, you know, not to say that it was better back then, because it certainly wasn't. But, I mean, a big reason of that is that, A, you didn't own yourself. The king owned you. And,
yeah, well, specifically, yeah, not medieval England. That's too middle ground. Yeah. Let's go back to Iroquois Indian. That's the one I really like. That seems like a cool society.
Before our people showed up.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That was probably just a utopia for a very long time.
So once I got that idea that I'm like, I think I actually could fit into that world. And if I didn't know about this world, that world would be fine. I could do this. So then when I started thinking about that, I was also thinking like the way men and women related back then. Would not, like, the way we look at women in porn now, that mindset wouldn't even exist because you're in, like, your tribe of, like, 7,500 people. Everyone around you is someone you know, and they're all related or you know them in some way. And everyone's just, you know, a whatever, a person wearing their Native American clothes and stuff. Like, there's no one's all tweezed and set up and, like, sexualized. And I heard, too, that they didn't really have, like, one-on-one pairing so much. Like, even that possessiveness of, like, romantic love was very much not a thing, you know, not like it is here. So when I think of it that way, I'm like this weird little kick of watching porn, that's where it really seemed way more like some weird control fantasy as opposed to any kind of normal feelings I'm ever supposed to have toward another person, because I just wouldn't have any of this. And it started making porn seem like, instead of this nice thing, like, oh, I can turn on the computer and have infinite porn, started to feel like this horrible thing that's been done to me, you know? Like, I shouldn't have all these hang-ups about porn and about sex and about women. Like, this has been, like, pushed on me. And if I could get away from it, I'm sure it would make me a better person.
I mean, think about, like not to get too far on it, but video games. It's like how video games are like first-person shooters and shit like that is like, it's basically a perfect release for violence, you know, where we, you know, human beings are violent, right? So porn has become this maybe it's a release for our polyamorous nature, you know, because nobody cares, or at least modern relationships, husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends do not care if you're looking at porn. And you're looking at somebody else, and it's just, it's kind of this given that it's just like, it's fine, it's just what you do.
And I really can't rail against like porn itself or people that looking at porn. Like, I'm sure everybody has their own ways to deal with it, or you know, interface with it. But I mean, for me personally, definitely getting away from it and going back, like, I just couldn't deny it. I'm like, there's nothing nice about what's happening in my head right now while I jerk off to this shit.
So, like, for you, this was full-on, like, would you say it was an addiction?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it still is, because that's the thing, is it's not like I just cut it off and it's all done. Yeah. Now it's weird. Now whenever I look at porn, I'm like, I seem like I have so much more awareness of what I'm getting out of this and why I like it, but I'm still doing it, you know?
You're also doing it from, like, there's your angle, which is currently sans mate, and then there's people with mates, where for me it's still like, all right, Finn's not home, gonna go jerk off, and then that's it.
Well, that's where I think I got pretty deep down in the well, is like where I started seeing like the way men and women are supposed to relate. It started getting like weird in my brain, because like my previous girlfriends were all like, you know, self-empowered cool people, but lately I was like the you know, this last dumb thing that I was involved with, it was like, looking back, I'm like, did I like that girl more because she's not like that, because she seems controllable? Like, has this gotten so wormed into my brain that like male power dominance fantasies bullshit that I wanted to try that in real life? Like, it's gone beyond porn to like fucking with what I'm doing with my life. And I think there's connections there.
I think it was probably proximity more than anything.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, but I mean, I also know my own porn history, and like, I don't know, it's just, it's not nice shit. Like it has gotten deeper and deeper. Like, I mean, when I hit the point where facial abuse isn't weird anymore, like, Jesus Christ, you know, it's like this fucking bus is going off the cliff.
I think we all kind of have hit that point with porn, because it's just, at a certain point, especially now, like, it's all accessible. It's all in your face. It's like, what do you feel like looking at? Right. It's there.
Yeah.
You know?
See, that's where, I haven't, you know, like, this month went pretty good, but I haven't totally cut like a knife yet or whatever. But that's where I feel like I might need to really try, because I feel like everything leads down that path. Like,
I am not endorsing you cutting your balls off. Right. Just for the record, do not do that.
But it is like
the old imagination station.
Yeah, well, see, that's the other thing too, is even even my imagination would just, especially that 11 days I didn't jerk off or anything, like, still just would naturally go to a lot of weird places. But it was interesting to not jerk off, because I'd just be laying in bed and my head would go somewhere weird and I'd get a hard on, but then I'd just like sit there with it for a couple minutes and think it through. And instead of getting like a dopamine feedback reward, it would pass, and then I could be like, what was that? Like, I've never done that ever, of just like really giving myself a week or so to think through what is even happening in my head. And like that creepiness of like, why would I even want all this weird shit that I'm thinking of? And then I think, like, what if I was a native proud warrior? Like, I would never, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't even think of people like that. Like, how did this happen to me? This society is fucking me up.
It's crazy. I mean, like...
But you don't know that they didn't have fucking crazy, whacked-out fantasies about people. They were fucking... Imagine...
Of course they did.
Exactly. Like, imagine fucking gutting a deer, right?
Right.
There's a lot of tearing. There's a lot of blood. There's all kinds of interactions with a living being that we're not customarily privy to. It's pretty easy to draw a corollary there between a human woman and being like, man, imagine if I just fucking gutted her when I was fucking her. Like, and I mean...
But the thing is that there would be...
Fine. A lot of people probably wouldn't do it. Most of them wouldn't. A lot of people wouldn't think of it, but some of them would. And everyone's got their weird variants, right?
But I mean...
It's easy to blame whatever is the current state.
Well, I think, sure, though, the reason I don't feel like they would as easily feel that way is because I feel like our society is so... disconnected, where if like every woman around you is someone that you know and you've known your whole life, where it's not like that for me. I mean, I have so few women in my life, almost no one, so it's very easy for me to watch porn and just to not give a shit.
Thing to say that that's society's fault. A lot of us do.
Well, I think it is. I hate this society. I'm done with it.
I have lots of women that a lot of my best friends are women. Mm-hmm. I have a girlfriend that I love. I have a really good relationship with my mother. So it's not the society. It's a specific scenario that developed for you, which right. may have been brought on by our society and other factors.
Right. But I guess, like, again, in my magical Iroquois, dream world, like, it just... I could never be this isolated. It couldn't happen. I just would be part of a group.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think whatever has drawn you to be, say, more misogynistic than other people has been definitely from society that's drawn you a certain way. Where, like, I agree with Matt that, like, I have friends that are women, like platonic friends, not many though. Like I have quite a few platonic friends now that I think about it, just not really good ones, but I feel like really good about my relationship with women, but I had circumstances to do so. Let's just say that, as like I grew up with some really cool strong women. I went to an art school that kind of nurtured that. Like, all my bosses in my entire career have been women. And, except for one dude, I think. But,
that one dude who wasn't a woman.
One dude. And he was okay.
If you ever meet one of them, then that's a rare breed. Those dudes that ain't women.
All right, bro, let's see that badge.
What?
Nothing. No way.
Yeah, and I think this is, this is probably a larger sort of thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately. But man, I just feel like I've been fighting this uphill battle my whole life to not be this weird, isolated weirdo. And it's like, why has it been this hard? Like, why is this world like this? Like, why is individuality so touted and, like, you should know all the answers before you start and you should be able to do everything on your own? I'm like, can I just get some help? Can I have some support?
But this is the thing. Yeah, you can. That's why you're here. Right? Like, if you didn't have a massive group of friends, you probably would have killed yourself a while ago.
Right.
Right? Like, you have, maybe your family relationship's not great. Having a relationship with Allie probably did a lot for you.
Right.
There's all kinds of things, and there's all kinds of avenues to be pursued. They're just not as readily apparent, necessarily. Right.
And it's only something, I'm becoming aware of lately, because I do feel like my whole life it's been like that message of like individuality, and you're supposed to be able to stand on your own, and you're supposed to make your own decisions, and I'm terrible at it, and it's not working.
And I think you're probably feeling this a lot more is because you're an anomaly in that sense. It's like you're not, you don't have a job, you don't need a job, you're living very Iroquois, so to speak, like very close to what you need. Like you don't buy shit. You have what you need in life, right?
Right. Except the community aspect, because that's what I think about. Like those, like even by the time of like medieval kings and shit, like I feel like things were starting to get pretty weird. But that like Iroquois type life, where it is just like your group, and it's you live together. Like that's what evolution made us be. That's where things were supposed to stop. going.
I guess what I'm saying,
we're still that creature, and we still feel like that, and we want that, but it's gone now.
No, that's exactly that.
It's not gone. People have families.
Yeah, but it's really not the same.
It's not the same as community, as like full-on, real, close proximity community. Like
there's still lots of communities out there.
Sure, there are internet
communities. We live in Toronto.
Yeah, but again, it's like
I understand.
Not in a very communal place.
But it's going way, way away from that. Like, there's, like, the statistics are way more single-person households and just way less, like, nobody knows neighbors and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you still need to, like, fight from an individual standpoint to have community, and it's weird. Like, I should have just been raised in a group, with a group. I shouldn't have to fight for this.
Well, I mean, like, I'll be perfectly honest. Like, my wife and I have two different experiences in the city. Because I started doing podcast stuff. Well, we both started doing podcast stuff, but then she you know, she was pregnant, and I kind of kept going while she was pregnant, and like, we totally divided our lives in that way, where I ended up building a community, so like you guys, and she didn't, and so like, she feels way more isolated than I do. And it's kind of like, it's tough because, like, we always see people. There's people everywhere. It's not like, it's like the lonely in a crowd thing times a million, or what are we, 5 million?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to like different specific types of people. Like, obviously, Matt, you know, you really don't mind alone time very much. You know, you're good at that.
My
you're a camel.
Thing.
Whereas I've just like it's taken a long time for me to realize this, but I'm really not. Like, when I think back to stuff like our vinyl countdown, not vinyl countdown, Neo Old School Records, like our weird little rap group we had, and or It's a Movie back home, even as recently as wrestling, where we had like 10, 12 people all hanging out, and like I'm the linchpin center guy that makes these things happen, and that's the only way I'm happy, is I like to have a group, and when I don't, it's the worst thing in the world. Like, when I look back at junior high school, I was like, man, why did that suck so much? And it's because for elementary, I had the same class. It was 30 kids, same 30 kids for 6 years. And again, it was that same situation where everyone knew me and everyone was friends with me, but not necessarily everyone else was friends with everyone else. And then when I got to junior high and I was in a new school and it was all new kids, and it was so depressing. And it's weird to look back and see like when we had our little It's a Movie group and our little vinyl countdown type groups. And I think that's the reason too things didn't work out so good in New York, is because people kept getting booted out and getting, you know, kicked out. And I'm like, God damn, this is not a well-run group. Like, this is horrible. I really like to be in a group. And I feel like that's, I don't know, is always, again, I guess, I don't know, my mom especially really pushes that individuality thing. Like, that's, I always kind of felt like that's like a bad thing. Like, you're not supposed to feel like that. You're supposed to be self-reliant.
It's classic extrovert, though.
Right.
It's the exact opposite of what I am. You are charged up by interactions with other people, whereas it's a drain for me. I go out and do it, and then I'm like, oof, I need to go into my room for a couple days and be alone, because I can't handle any more of that. But if you're alone in your room and haven't seen people in a couple days, you're getting drained.
It's a tricky thing, too, though, because I didn't think I was. And I think it does have to be a very particular group. Like, it has to be a...
Yeah, it's obviously not just like, oh, let's go down to the docks and say hello to everyone. Like, you want a connection.
I don't think there's any such thing as, like, a pure introvert or extrovert. Like, everybody told me all my life that I was an extrovert. But I'm only an extrovert in certain situations.
Well, always degrees. Everyone still loves alone time, and everyone still loves community. But there's a balance there.
Yeah.
Like...
But you're right. Like, it's sort of like, yeah, when I'm hanging out with like a group of people I like to spend time with, it's like, yeah, I get energy from that.
Something I wonder, again, you know, I'm still at the young buck age of 35. I think I'm finally starting to figure out where I might be going in this life. But like, I wonder if I could be like a community manager or something like that would be, or to help run a fucking nonprofit or something. Because like, I feel like, because even this is a realization I had the other day. Is I was really huge into, especially in high school, books about self-esteem. There's this guy, Nathaniel Brandon, I loved. I read all his books. And the way they describe self-esteem is like this problem I thought I had was this lack of like a barrier between me and other people. Like, even if I watch a movie, like if I watch Trainspotting, like every thought sounds like Mark Renton for hours. Like, it's just, that's just how my head works. And, you know, when I hang out with people, they rub off on me a lot. And I always thought, like, oh, that's the worst. What's wrong with me? Where's my self-esteem? Where's my self? Like, why can't I just keep myself stronger? But I've started to realize, like, maybe, like, if I was in some tribe, I would be valuable that I'm not like that, that I have more empathy and that I bleed into other people.
Keith, that's not just you. Everybody does that. Like, I
was influenced by whoever you're around, right?
I did a week of watching nonstop Russell Brand videos. Russell Brand was my fucking inner monologue for like 2 weeks. Also, they're like, I have so many friends where I just like, I hear a little phrase or something and suddenly I'm using it all the time and I'm like, oh shit, oh yeah, that was, you know, that was Mike's phrase, like blow your tits apart. Mike said that one time And I just kind of noted that, and I was like, that's amazing.
Right.
And then I started saying it, and I was like, oh, shit, that was Mike's thing. Sorry, Mike, I stole your thing. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just like little things like that. Everybody does that because it's what we do. It's what we're programmed to do.
And I guess it's a catch-22 here of just like I'm glad I'm figuring all this stuff out, but it still seems frustrating to me that, like, I had to figure this all out. Like, why isn't this society a society where, like, I don't know, I just really feel like
you feel like somebody should have, like, said, okay, this is how things are going to work, and this is what you're going to experience, right? And I think, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe if we were in a more tribal environment or a smaller community environment, you would really, those things would be very apparent.
Right.
But I think because individualism is the cult that is pushed at us. It's not necessarily a good one, but it's pushed at us. It totally fosters this idea that, like, you need to be unique, you need to do everything on your own, and you need to be discovered, quote unquote.
Right.
And, like, really, we're all kind of the same. And the people who kind of, like, appear, like, if you look at any celebrity, they're just, like, the same thing as a celebrity from 20 years prior. You know, there's nothing, nobody is a new personality of any sort. Except for maybe Katy Perry, I don't know.
Man, this has wandered. I like this episode. It's gone some weird places from smoking, right? How do we get here? But I was thinking, like, I think that, like, it's neat too. Like, I have actually kind of enjoyed this weird last few months by myself, like in the lab, just thinking, figuring shit out. But I was thinking, like, the first big fork in the road with my life was like university. It's fucking insane that I didn't go to university, but it was just this, like, well, Keith knows what he's doing, and that's kind of what it's been my whole life. And it's like, all right, now I'm 35. Can we all admit I don't know what I'm doing? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, university is a great community, customarily. I mean, not everyone's going to have a great time, but I had a fucking blast.
Me too.
Yeah, and it was just like this thing where I had such a bad time in junior high and high school because it was just so big and I was just so isolated and weird. Like, my high school was a nightmare. It was huge. And it's just like a drop in the bucket. And yeah, there was just no one there to easily find who could, like, mentor me or help foster me through these tough times. It's just my weird parents that are hard to talk to and this idea that I'm supposed to know what I'm doing. Like, man, that's the one that kills me. It's like you're supposed to just have every answer before you start the journey. Ugh. No, awful. Brutal.
And you know, like I was saying to you guys earlier tonight, it's like my wife and I are, like, looking at kindergarten schools. Like, they fucking matter. You know, like kindergarten matters. I mean, it's...
Well, if you get a bad one and your child gets sexually abused, I would wager it does matter.
Good point. But, like, you know...
Take that one with you. Put that under your cap.
Fair, like, fair enough.
I guess the rape school is out.
How do you feel about touching them? Good?
Look, I know it's awkward, but someone needs to ask.
But it's this idea in this society, like... I mean, like, part of it is, you know, like, our public schools are so strained and so fucked up is that we're looking, like, all these schools we're looking at are all smaller classroom schools with, like, some sort of alternative curriculum, but they're all lottery systems, which I love about Canada. Like, it's not private.
This gambling problem?
Yeah, I love our gambling problem we have. No, it's a lottery system, so it's like everybody who applies gets a number. And then they draw the number without knowing names or anything. So
your paper is a different color because you're white.
Yeah, exactly. Well, aside from that part, yeah.
No, I think it's the reverse around here. The fact that Joel's family is Caucasian is trouble.
Yeah. And it's just weird that, like, we feel like we need to do this. Why do we feel like we need to do this? Like, it's so weird to me. It's like...
Well, I do love to, again. I mean... I really am. This is part of my things. Is I'm going to go get some books and find out how North American natives really did live instead of the shit I made up in my brain.
There's also a lot of murdering and killing and war and shit like that, too.
Right. But specifically about them, I did, you know, read some crap about, like with raising kids. Like, you know, kids would just be around the parents all the time. And if not the parents, aunts, uncles, other people in the community, where it's so strange now. Like, you know, you just have some kids and a couple parents and maybe one babysitter that shows up, and, like, it's this tiny little group, and then you get to school and it's like one teacher and all these kids. It's like not enough, you know.
It's not enough.
And what I thought was super funny is when the you know, the Europeans came over. That was one of the first bones of contention between the Europeans and the natives, is the Europeans were like, what do you mean you don't beat your kids? How do you keep them in line? Because, like, just immediately this whole awful system came and took over. And, I mean, it's still going. Like, I got the shit spanked out of me all the time. And I have no idea why. There's no way I was that bad of a kid. But it's, like, only stopped this generation. It's been hundreds of years of this crazy shit that is awful.
Yeah, well, I definitely got spanked, and, like, it wasn't horrible. It was just kind of, like, it didn't... I mean, my parents were smart enough to realize that it didn't really work on me, so they did different punishments instead.
Right.
Like, I was more the kid, like, if they took away my Lego for a week, that fucked me up. Right? But if they spanked me, I was like, meh, well, okay, that sucked, but, you know, I didn't really learn my lesson, so to speak. But, anyway,
Yeah, I guess we can wrap this up. I think we went some weird places. I don't know what the... But basically...
I could keep going with this.
This is like 45 minutes. Okay. That's plenty.
Right. I guess, I don't know. We went a lot of weird places. Anyone got closing thoughts about this particular thing?
Who wants to dress up in elk skins and go into the woods with me?
Just you?
Yeah, that's the problem. It's gonna be weird at first, and my thinking is once we hit critical mass, it'll be okay.
Yeah, like, I think if we could get about 30 of us there, down with it.
Also, we'll need, like, tons of, like, ayahuasca or something to forget this world. We're gonna have to forget any of this, or this isn't gonna work.
Yeah. Crack. Just a lot of crack. Huh.
Wouldn't that be weird? We recreate a native society as close as we can, but we have crack cocaine, like, barrels of it. Just tons.
I don't want to say. Oh,
yeah, we recreate it, like, it's like piñatas. Like, we go do fake hunts, and inside is tons of crack. We're just like, we did it! Yeah.
Well, me and Ben are planning on going hunting this year, so you can come. You can't use the guns, but you can come.
Does he not allowed to use the guns?
I need like a license or something.
Oh,
right?
I see.
I think you're technically allowed to if I'm like supervising you, but you're not allowed to use the guns.
That reminds me, just tonight when I was babysitting, there's like the sewing machine, and above it is like all kinds of horrible stuff. Pins and X-Acto knives and stuff. So I was like, no, Jet, no, we can't mess with that. And he's like, well, no one's home. No one will know. And I'm like, I'm right here.
Yeah, because like you're like super buddy Keith. You don't count. You're not the authority figure, apparently.
But I can hopefully at least keep people from stabbing themselves with X-Acto knives. I can at least offer that much security.
Oh, my God. Yep, they're my kids are the worst.
Yeah, to close things up, this is why I don't understand why everyone hates on hippies so much. Because these are the exact same things that conclusions that hippies come to.
Right.
And everyone gives them grief. But a lot of the really good people I've met in my life have been hippies. And I've had a lot of fun with them. So I like hippies. For the most part, a lot of them are dicks because a lot of every group are dicks.
Actually, I'd like, not to start a new topic, but I kind of do want to start a topic about hippies.
Because in my life especially, I have given
hippies so much shit. And what sucks right now is I'm realizing exactly what you just said is like, wow, I'm coming to the same conclusions a lot of these hippies do. I think the difference is because a lot of hippies in my life come from very, very affluent places.
Alberta hippies?
Yeah, they come from places where, you know, it's great. They can pretend to be a hippie, but they've got the backup. You know, in case it doesn't work out, they can go live a lawyer mom and dad's place.
See, I
you know, not I. Sorry, I just picked that.
Yeah,
right.
No, that's fine. I mean, that's the kind of hippie I'd be.
Okay. Yeah.
I knew a lot of New Brunswick trailer park hippies, so they were
much better.
They're a little more pragmatic, I think.
Yeah, trailer park people in Alberta are definitely rougher dudes, and they are burn the earth to the ground as long as I get mine. Yeah.
It's weird kind of hippie mentality.
Well, they're called Republicans in reality, but yeah.
But yeah, no, I've very much lately, I mean, that's what has been kind of neat about, like even though my original plan of just moving away and having that weird adventure didn't happen, this coming back to Toronto has been, it's been really cool, because I really have, like, changed a lot of my thoughts about stuff, because especially with all this, like, you know, thinking about communal type societies and stuff. I mean, when I was in junior high, like my favorite books I've brought up on the show before, but was Ayn Rand, who is all about super individualism. And I still really like her books, but looking back, it's like, I think I liked them so much because that was like The Beautiful Dream. Like, I read her books about these super individualists who really didn't care what anyone thought and just could make it on their own. And I'm like, yeah, like, that's the spear I need. That's the armor I need to survive in this weird society that wants me to be so perfect. And now it'd be weird to explain to myself, my 17-year-old self, and be like, hey, you know, when you're 35, you don't believe any of that anymore. How do you feel about that?
Well, one of the turning points in my career was when I first started being like, because I was like that too. My dad was real smart and he knew how to do all the shit. So when I didn't know how to do something right off the bat, I get super frustrated. So when I started being like, huh, I don't know how to do this. Can anyone help me? You'd be amazed how much people will like you if you're just like, I don't fucking know, and how much people are dying to impart the knowledge that they have. Because otherwise you're just a siloed piece of shit who's just like, oh, I do my job and I don't do anything. But as soon as someone's like, hey, can you help me with this? It's like, you're just on. You're like, yeah, no problem. I'll tell you, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man, and then you're like, oh, cool. I love that role. That's my role at work is like, I'm the guru with like design stuff or certain software. So, yeah, no, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel good to impart knowledge. And also, I also play dumb as well, just if I don't know something.
I don't fucking play dumb. I'm like, man, no, I don't know how to do this.
I should say play dumb, admit that you're actually dumb.
But yeah, I used to waste so much more time just struggling through shit, being like, I can figure this out. And eventually, usually I would. But I'm like, if I had asked him fucking 2 days ago, it would have been over like that. Obviously, you can't be like, what's this doing? What's this doing? But you know, just being like, you got me.
Well, that's like, you had to roll it back to why I decided to try the NoFab January. That's what really sold me, was this one video I watched where the guy was like, do it like science. Like, if you've never tried it, right? Don't expect to know how you'll feel and how your body will react before you ever try it. You gotta try it, and then you'll know. And I was like, that makes so much sense. Why would I not? You know, fuck it. And that guy, too, he was like, try everything. Try fasting. Try blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, let's just do one thing at a time. Calm down. But I do like that, like, that really is, like, it is like this revolutionary weird concept of, like, just stop pretending you know everything. Like, okay, I will. I think I'm finally old enough.
We'll get another
round.
Another round, yeah. I got it.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
I think that's the other thing is, like, I recently got into a flame war on Twitter with some Republicans who ended up following me, and I decided to follow them, too, because we sort of got along in a weird sort of way.
Yeah, enjoy it now until it's a real flame war with flamethrowers. It's coming.
True. But it was about the prison system in the United States. And the statistic I had is like one prisoner, to feed and house one prisoner costs as much as putting three people through college. So what is the fucking point of that? And then, you know, their argument always comes down to, try paying for stuff yourself. Right. And it makes no sense. It's this culture of individualism. They believe that, like, funding anything is somehow taking stuff out of their mouth. Right? And you know.
Wait, they're pro-prison, correct?
Yeah.
And then they're funding the prison.
Well, they don't, but... It's okay to fund a prison.
Because you need a prison. You don't need people to go to university.
College, yeah. Right?
Gotcha. Sorry.
So, it's this weird, disconnect of like one of them even said in like one of their tweets is like, take care of myself, take care of my family, worship my way. Okay. Well, like.
And just to bring things back down to my super simplified, I love Native Americans, I hate Europeans, but they do. They roll in and they're just like beating their kids, and now we're just putting people in jail. Like, it's just like the evolution of this punitive way of raising people. It's weird.
Yeah, and it's totally like, and it's sort of weird because what frustrates me is they can't see that they have created the environment that they live in. That like this sort of build a cage, build a wall, like keep Mexicans out, keep, you know, gated communities and all this sort of shit. They can't see that, like, if you would just spend that money on educating people, you wouldn't need all this stuff.
But if you spent your whole life grinding away to get all that bullshit. You can't very well share it, Joel. Otherwise, fair what enough. Would have been the point?
Right. But who does really hard labor these days?
It doesn't matter. It's not the labor at all.
It's perceived labor.
It's that the
labor.
People that are in these positions that believe they're special completely ignore the circumstances that they were born under. The people who work at fucking Wall Street, they think if they were born in the middle of fucking Africa
that they
with malaria, they would have found a way.
Yeah.
They would have got here. They would have done something. They would have pulled them out of their bootstraps. And yeah, maybe 1 in 10 million of them would have. And good for them. But the rest of them are just entitled fucking douchebags who are like, oh, what's a good job to make millions of dollars? This one. I'm going to do that because I don't give a fuck.
You know how it ends, yo. Usually depends on where you start. That's Reverend like, Everlast. Yeah. he knew what time it was.
All right. Well, on that note, slackers.
Oh, yeah. Now we got to put our fists together and say slacktivate.
I don't usually go into
slackers. Slacktivate!
Weird.
Did you ever have to walk a mile in her shoes?